Blog Talk Radio.
America. This is another edition of Bell Talk Live. I'm your host, MD Shaheed, and I'm here every morning with my co-host, Monica. Good morning, how you doing?
Good morning, Shaheed, how are you?
Just fine. If this first time tuning in to Bell Talk Live, then we'd like to inform you that this show is sponsored by Excel Nutraceuticals. Excel Nutraceuticals is a company that manufactures all natural based products for the management of eczema, psoriasis, contact dermatitis of the scalp and skin. The company also manufactures an all-natural-based product to control eczema and psoriasis of the scalp, as well as to prevent hair loss and to help individuals to effectively regrow much of the hair that they may have lost. For more information about buying all-natural-based products, do visit our website at www.xcel-n.com. That's xcel-n.com. You know, this show is coming live to you from Houston. It's a nice warm day. Kind of cool, though. Kind of cool here in Houston, Texas. And this is the upcoming winter months is coming up, and that means it's going to start getting chilly.
Yeah, I don't know if you can really call it chilly in Texas as compared, because I often remember my family are living in the Midwest, where they would call me and say, what are you doing? I said, we're barbecuing. And, you know, it would be like 40 degrees there, and it would be 70 and sunny here. So it gets a little warm, but like you said, I enjoy this time of year because we know that it's an opportunity for us to enjoy the cooler weather, and also pumpkin, which is one of my favorite pies. I enjoy that. So that means they're going to be in full season and we can get to take advantage of that.
Well, you know, you're right, Monica. Pumpkins are in full season, and you can go everywhere and you can see people getting the pumpkins from their stores and making jack-o'-lanterns and cutting out the different funny or smiley-looking faces. And people do eat pumpkin pie, and pumpkin pie, to many people, is a delicious treat. But do you know there's some medicinal benefits from pumpkins that they could be used for the average, everyday person who has certain health problems?
No, I didn't know that. I enjoy pumpkin seeds also, so I know those are other things I like to snack on, but no, I didn't know that.
Well, see, you make a good point, because pumpkin seeds have been found to have very good medicinal effect. And let me kind of tell you some of the things that pumpkin seeds could be used for. One of the things is pumpkin seeds so good and has found medical benefit is because science has found that the seeds contain several major groups of essential fatty acids, amino acids, phytosterols such as beta, cystosterol, minerals, and vitamins. Okay? And these things have also been found from other natural sources, but they use these extracts to control certain health elements such as benign prosthetic hypoplasia. Let me read this to you right quick. Pumpkin seed oil has been used in combination with salt palmetto in two double-blind trials to effectively reduce symptoms of benign prosthetic hypoplasia. That's called BPH. And for our listening audience, if you're just tuning in, again, this is Health Talk Live. This is your co-host, MD Shaheed and Monica, and we're talking about how you can use or how you can eat or consume pumpkin seeds to control B BPH. BPH is where the prostate begins to enlarge in men. Generally, this occurs over the age of 40, and as the men get older and older, or the age, the prostate tends to get larger and larger. Now, excuse me, without getting too technical, we don't want to get too technical on this, but it suffice to say there is certain measurements that they can use, certain blood tests, and there's also some physical tests they can use where they can monitor and see how large the prostate is becoming. And if the value is a low value, that's pretty good. If it's a high value, that's not so good. Generally, the value ranges from 1 to about 8 or 9. And obviously, as men get older, the value gets larger. As that number gets larger, that's a pretty good indication that your prostate is enlarging. And if it gets too large, you may be developing prostatic cancer, and at that point, they may have to do a biopsy to determine whether or not that the enlargement is also due to the formation of some cancer. But in any event, pumpkin seeds have been shown to, in combination with saw palmetto berry extract, okay, to combine with that to help reduce or prohibit BPH. Let me further read. It says, animal studies have shown that pumpkin seed extracts can improve the function of the bladder and urethra. But what that means is sometimes as people get older, particularly men, they have spasmodic reactions in the bladder. And sometimes it's not the prostate, it's the bladder. And the bladder is like spasmodic interactions, it's moving all the time, and that causes pressure, and that's why you get frequent urination. There are drugs that you can take for this, but the drugs generally have a lot of side effects. One of the side effects is impotence and libido. So are you with me, Monica?
Yes, I'm still there.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're just trying to get through this, give our listening audience some information. It says pumpkin seeds are considered an alternative treatment for stage 1 and 2, be named prosthetic hypoplasia. Stage 1 is simply where you have frequent urination. In other words, you're always getting up, you got to use, you know, urinate during the night. And sometimes it could be, you know, 10, 15, 20 times a night. That's stage 1. Stage 2 symptoms indicate bladder function debility and includes an urgency and incomplete emptying of the bladder. So, again, pumpkin seeds have been shown, okay, to in combination with saw palmetto berry extract to improve men with condition of BPH, reduce frequent urination, and also to reduce bladder spasms. That's pumpkin seeds. So that's an alternative as opposed to using certain drugs or synthetic drugs. And I think that's pretty interesting, don't you, Monica?
I think that's a good idea. So we all need to, especially men, need to add as part of their diet is grabbing a handful of pumpkin seeds. And now that they're really in season, we don't have an excuse. You can get them fresh.
Exactly. Exactly. Let me tell you something else about pumpkin seeds. It says trials in Thailand have shown that eating pumpkin seeds as a snack, just like you just said, as a snack, can help prevent the most common type of kidney stones. Called
wow.
Calcium oxalate. Yeah, isn't that interesting?
That's
kidney
good.
Stones. Yeah, pumpkin seeds appear to reduce levels of substances that promote stone formation in the urine and increase levels of substances that inhibit stone formation. Now, that's really a medicinal discovery.
Exactly. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and I eat pumpkin seeds all the time now, and what I suggest, you know, people do is go to your reliable health food store, pardon me, and ask for pumpkin seeds. And they generally will have them. Generally, they're organic. That's the best type. They're a little expensive, but you get a really, really big bag. And I just snack on them all the time, you know. And I do also take saw palmetto berry extract. And if you're going to also use that particular herbal material, you know, I would advise you to get the extract, and it should be standardized. It should have on it standardized to 85% to 95% fatty acid and steroids. That's what you should be looking for. Don't just get the salt palmetto berry. Don't get salt palmetto berry leaves because there's hardly anything in it of value. You want to get the extract. And I would suggest in your area you maybe look for particular companies such as Solaray. Solaray is a real good company that produces organic, natural-based minerals, herbal extracts, etc. A very good company. There's also a company called Blue Bonnet here in Texas, which is an up-and-coming company. They do a lot of good business. Also, Gyro out in California. Gyro, they're real good in herbals, particularly green tea extract. So these are some of the places that you can go, or some of the brands, pardon me, that you can buy in the alternative medicine industry, and you can get really good products.
The pumpkin seeds they have it that you can buy at your local store. They have the salt. So if you got high blood pressure, be wary of that. But like you said, go to your local health food store and buy them fresh or make them yourself.
That's exactly. Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. Some of them are loaded with salt. If you got high blood pressure and someone who really doesn't be consuming a lot of salt or salt products, you can go to your health food store. You can get them fresh. There's no salt in them, very little salt in them. And it's a really good snack. It's tasty. It's chewy, okay, but it's a good snack. And it also contains a lot of protein. You know, pumpkin seed contains 10% protein by weight. That's incredible, you know. Yeah, so you can also get up on your protein. So that's a little bit for our listening audience, health talk today, alternative remedies. And so you may want to consider, if you're a male and you're over 40, to include pumpkin seeds in your everyday diet. We're going to go and take a break right now, a short break, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming cold season, or winter season, or flu season, and how that could also affect people who have eczema. So we want all our listeners to just stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the show. This is Health Talk Live. I'm MD Shaheed with my co-host, Vodica. And we are talking about eczema, psoriasis, contact dermatitis, as well as other important health issues that would be of concern to everyday people. We're going to talk a little bit now about the upcoming winter season and how it affects your health. And also for our listening audience, if you have any questions, you can call us. Call in right now. Our chat line is also open. Our call-in number, 347-202-0758. That's 347-202-0758. We welcome your call. And Monica, you know, it's starting to get cool, maybe not in Texas that much, but around the country and other parts of the country, particularly the Northeast and some parts of the Southeast. And that means the flu and winter season is upon us.
Yeah, I read also earlier, I think it was a couple of days ago in a magazine, that the average adult gets about 6 colds per year and kids get about up to 12 colds per year as an average.
Wow, that's a lot. So what are some of the things that we could do to as to keep as health conscious people to minimize the potential for us to catch colds outside of, you know, getting a flu shot or something like that? I know a lot of people don't like flu shots. You know, they don't like shots at all, but they attempt to prevent the onset of certain flus or colds by using alternative remedies. And so what are some of the things we'd like to discuss now? And again, our listeners can call in and get in on this. We'd like to discuss some of the things that you can do to minimize colds and flus. And some of the things we could do, Monica, what?
Well, like I said, I read about some things that we could possibly do. One is washing your hands more frequently. That's supposed to be one of the biggest things because we touch things, even something as simple as money, and we transfer it to our face and our hands and things like that. And especially this season, you know, cover your mouth when you sneeze or cough. That was something else that I came across. So mainly washing your hands frequently was a big one.
Yeah, you're right, because a lot of times, you know, we inadvertently and unconsciously will call for or will sneeze, or somebody else will call for sneeze, and you'll walk up to them, particularly kids. You know how children, have you ever been in the public schools? And I used to be a teacher in public schools, and kids will come down the hall, they'll sneeze and then run and grab somebody, you know, grab another student or a friend of theirs, and automatically they just transfer whatever they had. It was a virus or a bacteria or both. You know, generally it's viral, but you could have some bacteria contamination also on the top of the skin, on the surface of the skin. But most of the time when they sneeze, it's going to be a viral transfer. But in any event, you can see that if you're not careful, if people are not careful, and if we don't train our younger people and our adults too, that you know, when you sneeze or when you know you have a cold, to be sure that you wash your hands and wash your face or cover your face when you have these different situations. Another thing that came out recently, you know, there's a lot of antibacterial soaps,
right?
And you know, they're right. They sell a lot of these things, but science now says that you probably shouldn't use antibacterial soaps, and mainly because the more you use them, bacteria becomes more resistant. You know, and so eventually, you know, the body can ward off certain infections as effectively as it used to. So it's a good thing, like you said, just to wash your hands with some warm, lukewarm water with, you know, regular, a good soap. And you also have to be careful the kind of type of soap. We'll talk about that in a minute. But wash your hands with good soap, whatnot. And that way we can minimize the transfer of various flus or viruses. What
and
about vitamins?
I don't know. I know you're talking about you're a better advocate of vitamins. That's what we do. And I know sometimes no matter what we do, we still may be subject to getting a cold. So at that point, you know, I know you had certain things that you said that we could take, like vitamin C and things like that, and larger doses that would possibly help. What else can we do?
Well, yeah, vitamin C will help in the management of various colds or flus. The late Linus Pauling did a lot of work on the use of vitamin C. You know, some of his work was is still questionable, but I think the basis of it has merit. But I'd like to take it a little step further. We now know that there's certain biological reaction pathways in the body that have to be maintained in order to fight off infection, and this means that individuals should be consuming during the winter season high levels of vitamin B. Vitamin B. Why vitamin B? Well, because vitamin B's are needed for stressful situations, and when you're stressful, you know, your body consumes a lot of vitamin B. Well, I mean, these are energy-related processes, and whether you know it or not, in order to fight off infection, your body uses a lot of energy. Well, if you're stressed out because of the economy, because of some bills, relationship issues, or whatever, you're going to be using a lot of vitamin B. And if your vitamin B levels fall below what's needed to fight off an infection, you're going to get sick. So you need a lot of vitamin B. You also need some vitamin E. You know, you need a sufficient amount of vitamin E. You also need in your diet, you would need vitamins like botulinum and choline. You need some of that. Taurine. Taurine is not a vitamin, but it's an amino acid, but it's something you need to be implemented or put into your everyday vitamin regime. The taurine has to fight off diseases, things of that nature. You consume a lot of the green tea extract. We go back to green tea extract. Green tea will help fight off dangerous free radicals. It'll consume them or at least deactivate them such that they don't cause havoc on your immune system. Okay, so you need a lot of your green tea consumption would be a benefit. Also, there's something that I like to tell people to take in the wintertime, something that's called, it's an amino acid, but it's a analog of an amino acid. It's called N-acetylcysteine, commonly called NAC. Look, if you're a person that's prone to colds or flus, you need to run to the health food store, not walk, but run, and get you some NAC. NAC is a decomposer. It decomposes all kind of adverse reactions, biological reactions. And, you know, we really don't have the time to get into all of the reaction pathways on the show. But one day in the future, I will talk about this, how NAC it combines with green tea, which combines with taurine, which helps decompose all the different adverse reactions that viruses can affect on the human immune system. So these are some of the things you should also, vitamins that you should include in your everyday regime. And, you know, go to the health food store. Again, I recommend Solaray, which is a great company. I don't have any stock in or anything like that, so I'm pushing them. He must own stock in Solaray, yeah. But I don't own stock in Solaray. Blue Bonnet, great company. Gyro, I love their green tea extract. You know, they make a good green tea extract. It's water-based. There's also some other companies out there, Solagar, Biomedics. They're real good in amino acids. And again, amino acids such like cysteine should be in your diet. And you could also include MSM also, because MSM is good to fight bacteria and parasites. These are some of the type of alternatives that you can include in your everyday regime in terms from a vitamin standpoint of view to control an infection. And let me say one more thing, Monica, before we move on, is that when you consume these vitamins, don't consume them on an empty stomach, ladies and gentlemen. In order to consume these type of materials appropriately so they'll have the most effect, you need to eat a little food prior, about 30 minutes before you consume any vitamins. Why? Because when you eat foods, your body will automatically secrete various enzymes and various digestive juices, which then causes other materials, biological agents, to be also secreted. When you consume these vitamins, the body knows the structure. These substances will then attach to the vitamin material and absorb it rather rapidly in the intestinal tract. So if you don't eat, what happens is you're going to get an upset stomach, or much of the vitamins are going to pass through and not be absorbed properly. So be sure when you're taking vitamins that you do have something to eat.
About the vitamins you're taking, so there's no confusion. Is there a good multiple vitamin that you can take, or do you need to take this, like the B vitamin and the C vitamin, in addition to your regular daily vitamin?
Yes, there are some good multiple vitamins.
Is that sufficient, though, or would you need to take some extra B vitamin and some extra C vitamin along with that?
No, you can go to the health food store. Do not go and get... what is it called? Citrum. Citrum and these materials, these vitamin complexes, that's junk. You go to a health food store and you can, you can buy one product that for Solaray makes. It's called Twice Daily Multivitamin. twice daily. It has all the vitamins you're going to ever need in it. Generally, you should have a minimum of 25 milligrams B a day, 25 milligrams of B1, B3, B6, B12, the Bs. You should have at least 25 milligrams. If you're a very active person, an athlete, you're in a corporate situation, you're very stressed out a lot, you're dealing with a lot of individuals, a lot of personalities, probably need to get a 50 milligram B. And don't worry about it. Was that a lot, Shahid? Well, no, because the body will absorb all it needs, and then it will excrete the rest of them out, you know, through the urine, because B vitamins, vitamin C, they're water soluble, and they'll come. Whatever you want, you can't process, it'll come out. And as far as the fatty vitamins, you know, Solaray has developed their product, and not only them, Blue Bonnet as well, there's another Gyro, and such that you'll get just enough sufficient amount of vitamins that'll help you in your everyday regime. So, yeah, you can get a good multivitamin. You don't have to go and buy all these individual materials. Just go ask your local health food store, a reputable one, and tell them what you want, and they'll be able to assist you in your needs.
Okay.
Anything else? Are we talking about green tea? What about when you get a sore throat or stressful? Remember, you can take the green tea with chamomile tea. Green tea with chamomile. In this case, we're taking the extract. I would suggest that you drink the green tea. You can go to stores, even some of your regular stores will have them now, everybody, because green tea is all over the market. And you can get the green tea, chamomile tea. Put the two together. Sweeten a little bit if you need some sweetener, because the taste is strong. But no sugar, honey. Yeah, it is. You know it is strong. No sugar, but honey. And you put the honey, you drink it, and it'll soothe the throat, and it'll break down any kind of mucus from histamine formation and dissolve it. And at the same time, the chamomile tea will just relax you. You'll feel good, and you'll go to sleep, and you'll wake up ready to start a brand new day. So, you know, I drink it all the time.
Besides the point about you saying about make sure you use honey and not sugar, because there's been some studies recently that shown that sugar could actually break down your immune system. So make sure if you have to have something sweet, because sometimes green tea does have a little bit of an aftertaste, that you do sweeten it with a little bit of honey and not sugar.
Right. Yeah, you're right about that. It does have, you know, but all these things, you have to, as an individual, figure out, you know, what's your taste. You know, everybody has their own taste, and it's a little experimentation in here. But the basis is that you can have chamomile and green tea together. Great combination, soothing combination. I like to drink it once I take a good shower. And I'm ready for bed because, you know, once I get through doing everything that I've done or I need to do, then I drink that combination and I'm good to go. And I'm knocked out in 15 to 20 minutes, you know. So that's a good thing for me. Chicken soup. I remember when I was a young man, my mom used to make homemade chicken soup. And the chicken that we didn't eat because we didn't have that, we didn't always eat chicken because times was hard. So we got an opportunity to get some chicken. That was a good thing. But, you know, when we didn't eat the chicken, she would take the leftovers, the bones, and the fat. And I remember looking in the refrigerator. We had these big old pots, you know, and these, you know, big stainless steel pots. And you could see the fat when it would cool off. You could see the chicken fat. And, you know, it always used to work for me. And as I grew up, you know, I modified a little bit, and I get some chicken soup. I always try to get the natural, the homemade type chicken soup, put a little garlic in it, put a little pepper in it, you know, and it does help. It helps the throat. It helps fight off infections. Science found many years ago, they did a study, more than one clinical research facility around the world, and they concluded that for whatever reason, mom's chicken soup does help fight off viral infections. Isn't that just interesting?
Wow. Okay, so
there
is.
It's not
just a rumor. Okay.
Yeah, it just helps fight off infection. And it's tied to the fat. There's certain enzymes, there's certain fatty materials. And we now know Okay, again, we go back to these same facts. Omega-3 fats, there's certain linoleic acid, there's certain fats not only in fish, but you can also find them in certain extracts. Again, salt palmetto berry extract, there's certain extracts, you can find certain fats that help fight infection and inflammation. And apparently chicken soup, you know, the homemade type, at least, you know, how you make it all up I'm not a great cook, but the herbs and the spices and all those different things, it helps fight infection or helps fight viral infection or flu, or to help you get over the flu quicker. That's what the study showed. Those individuals that took the chicken soup on a daily basis, two or three times a day, I think it cut their recovery time for the flu in half. I think that's what the study showed. So that substantiates and supports that. What else you think we could do in terms of the flu season, Monica?
Well, I remember one time I had a real bad cold, and you recommended that I take a hot bath with Epsom salt. And I said, what is he talking about? But I did. I listened that one time. And I tell you, the next day, with all the other things suggested with the chamomile tea and the green tea and the chicken soup, it was like I never had a cold. And I never quite understood what was it with taking a hot bath, you said as hot as I could stand it, and put some Epsom salt. What exactly, I remember I started sweating. What did that do?
Well, the Epsom salt, again, I learned this from my mom. You know, my mom was a country girl from Tennessee, so I learned a lot of, you know, remedies, you know, and maybe that's why I'm doing alternative remedies right now, although my background is in physical science, physical inorganic chemistry, physics. But, you know, what this does is Epsom salt is contains certain magnesium and to a small portion calcium sulfates, okay? But the interesting thing about it is that we call this in science, when in chemistry, if they are like a hydrate or a hydrolated complex. In other words, there's water molecules attached to it. And what it does is it modulates the osmotic pressure within the skin tissue or the cell tissue. Now, what does this mean in terms of health? Well, when you're fighting off a virus or some type of infection, the body is constantly trying to get rid of the infection. It can get rid of the infection through the nozzle area, the nose. It can get through the infection through the ear, coughing, you know, urination, any way it can to get rid of the infection, because it's constantly, the immune system is fighting, That's why you're hot. And particularly when you have a viral infection, you're hot because the body has ramped up the temperature to accelerate the immune system. See, when you increase temperature, it accelerates the reaction. Okay, now, that being said, that's why you take a hot bath, because what happens is the body is trying to give a way out of this infection, right? Well, what's the quickest way out from infection to excrete infection? It's through the skin. Why? Because the skin is the biggest tissue on the human being. It's the biggest organ part on the human being. It covers your whole body. And it has It has hundreds of millions of openings in it, the pores. So the body would like to get rid of it that way, but sometimes it cannot due to the type of infection, due to your what? Your nutrition is bad. You don't know it, but your nutrition is bad. So what the Epsom salt does, it changes the pressure, osmotic pressure in the skin tissue, and under heated conditions, it opens up the skin pores. When it opens up the skin pore, there's a flux. We call it a flux. Flux means something going in, something going out. So the Epsom salt goes in, the magnesium, the calcium, it makes an exchange with some of the other metals at the cellular surface, at the cellular level. This causes the opening. The body can then excrete much of the infectious substances out of you. That's why when you take the bath for a long time, you notice when you get out and you feel kind of drained. After you lay down, you feel a little drained. Yeah, but see, that's because your body was working to get rid of infection. Okay, now, couple that with the green tea and chamomile, you're going to go right to sleep like a brand new baby. You know, you're going to feel good about it. You're going to wake up the next morning and you're going to feel much better because you have gotten rid of or disposed of much of the waste material, which is really nothing more than your body, your immune system, fighting off the virus. So this is why it's a good regime to incorporate into your body when you have flus, particularly flus. You can take hot baths and Epsom salt. So that's what happened in that situation right there.
Okay, so just so we can recap, for those who are making a list, you want to take your good multivitamin, the once or twice daily vitamin. You also want to get your green tea and chamomile tea, and you want to drink that. Eat your chicken soup. Take your hot bath with the Epsom salt, and go to sleep when you get out the bathtub.
Exactly. And that'll help you. These are not cures, but they are helpful ways of managing during the flu season. You need to make sure you keep your feet and your head covered. You know, keep your feet and your head covered. I know when I was a young man, I used to walk to school all the time, and it was in Tennessee, it snowed a lot, you know. And when your feet get cold, you get sick. You know, a lot of people don't know is that infection, one of the quickest routes to infection in the body is through the feet. See, always remember that where the high sensory areas on the surface of the human body is generally areas where infection can infest rather rapidly. So your fingertips, you have a lot of fizzy fingertips, right? Your nostrils, because you can smell something. Sometimes it's not food. You just smell something ain't right. You know, when you walk in the room, people look at you all funny. You know something not right. And I smell something. Then also the ear, because you hear, right? The crown of the skull, the crown of the top of the skull, right? If you think that, just take some water. Ever take some water to look? And one day, take a little water, just drip it in the top of your skull and see what runs you crazy. The Chinese used to use that many years ago. Well, they said they stopped using it. Anyway, it's called a Chinese torture. Also, the feet. A lot of people tickle your little feet and your toe area, you move, because these are high sensory areas. And this is where infection can rapidly intrude or invade the human body if you're not careful. So that's why in the wintertime, when I was growing up, they made you wear socks and boots, and you had to cover your head with a cap, skull cap, and you had to put gloves on, right? Nowadays, exactly. You see kids going to school in the cold time with sandals on. Flip-flops on.
Exactly.
And wonder why they're sniffing all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the parents don't know any better. So these are things that could help assist you in managing the colds. And what about OTC medications?
I guess that's something good to be. You want to check with your doctor if they recommend you taking something, because, of course, they'll be the person that's most familiar with your health conditions. Especially if you have pre-existing conditions such as high blood pressure or other things you have to be concerned with, that's something that you probably should check with your doctor about.
Exactly. Then we have our old toothbrush and utensils, and you know how some of us, we never change toothbrush.
Right.
We need that toothbrush.
Try to recycle it. So as a standard, you throw away your toothbrush every 3 months anyway, but if you know you're getting over a cold, throw away the toothbrush, and ladies, with your makeup brushes and things like that, you need to make sure you wash and sterilize those again and throw out your old pencils because those carry bacteria, especially if you've already been sick.
Right. That's correct. Okay, and then one of the things you could also do is when you're trying to get over a cold or infection, you can make sure that you're constantly changing your bed linen. And this includes your pillowcases or pillows. That'll also help assist you. Don't you think?
Oh, definitely. Make sure you wash those and spray those down with, I guess they have all different types of sprays and stuff now, and just keep them clean and change them frequently.
Okay. Well, hopefully these are some of the things that you can incorporate into your everyday health regime and to try to make it through the winter season. And when we come back from a short break, we're going to talk about how the winter season can affect people who have eczema and what they can do to help manage their situation in the upcoming winter months. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the show. Health Talk Live. I'm your host, MD Shaheed. And Monica here, we're talking about eczema, psoriasis, also how to manage colds, flus, viral infections during the flu season, pardon me. We're taking calls right now. You can call us at 347-202-0758. That's 347-202-0758. We're also taking questions in our chat line, so if you have a question and you don't want to call in, just send it to us and we'll answer it as soon as we get it. So, Monica, you know, as it gets colder, there's a lot of people who have eczema tend to have various problems managing it. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I know as the seasons change, sometimes people are impacted. I just also want to say for those who are regular listeners, if you're listening, wondering where Gary is, he will be back next week. He found something a little bit more important to do, I guess, than to talk to us today, but he will be back next week. But like you were saying, as far as eczema, I know for a lot of folks, as we go into the fall season and the colder weather, they often have problems with flare-ups with the eczema.
Yes, and if in fact that's the case, they need to get in their regime or their managing regime with eczema, XLSO. XLSO is an all-natural-based product. It's scientifically developed from 18 different herbal, plant, flower, fruit extracts combined with selected amino acids, essential and non-essential oils, and specific antioxidants. One of those antioxidants is green tea extract that we use in a proprietary formula that's fast-acting, non-toxic, non-cancer-causing, and will manage your eczema or psoriasis condition appropriately. So if you do have eczema and the winter season is coming up, you do need to purchase XLSO during the winter season. What are some other things, Monica?
Get supplies in advance, too. That's what we want to tell folks. Don't wait till you start scratching because, you know, it takes us, you know, right now we're running about a week and a half before you get your actual delivery of your product. So order in advance and have your supplies on hand so you can use them.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, order so you can have it on hand. And when you do get it, be sure to use it according to directions. Use it 4 to 5 times a day. It will clear up your eczema fast. It will stop the itching, generally, in a few, sometimes in a few minutes, and in most cases, within a few hours, and within a very short period of time, when we're talking days, you'll begin to see your eczema clear up, and then within weeks, you'll begin to see the skin that you used to have come back to normalcy. So some of the other things you can also do is, during the winter months, is they can people can use the various moisturizers like Vaseline, cocoa butter, shea butter, glycerin, and vitamin E. Also with SO, you can use those things as well. And I know some people may say, well, okay, Shaheed, you say Vaseline, isn't that petroleum jelly? Well, we weeks ago on the show talked about petroleum jelly, and I can assure you that petroleum jelly is not going to block your skin pores. It's not a gasoline product. It's not a toxic material. You can go to our website at www.xcel-n.com. You can click on Facts and Fiction, Myths. You can read all you want to read about petroleum jelly, where it comes from, and how it affects the human body. But petroleum jelly is considered, from scientific studies, one of the foremost moisturizers on the market. In fact, it's even better moisturizer than shea butter. And in science, we have a way of measuring how well a substance is a good moisturizer. So that's not guesswork. That's real facts, not fiction. So what else could they also do, Monica, in terms of help managing eczema during the winter months?
Well, one of the things we have to be very concerned, whether it's seasonal or any time throughout the year, when you have issues with the eczema, you have to be concerned with the soaps that you're using on the skin. So this includes the detergents,
exactly,
and then also the body soaps that you wash with. So you want to make sure, you know, especially you want to get something perhaps from the health food store. You have to be very cognizant of how your skin and your body reacts to that.
Exactly, because most of the soaps that you get over the counter, they're generally very fatty materials. And you won't really, if you can get one, an organic type soap. You may have to go to the health food store to get one, a soap, or even a soap that's based, what we call a glycerin-based soap or vegetable-based soap, such that you don't get the harshness, because a lot of these soaps, when they make them, they leave behind in them a small percentage of what we call lye, which is just sodium hydroxide. And this material is very corrosive. It's a very corrosive and dangerous chemical. It has a lot of benefit in man because we use sodium hydroxide to make other products that are essential for humanity, but in its innate form or base form, sodium hydroxide is very corrosive to the skin and it could be very dangerous, and it will aggravate your eczema or your psoriasis. And so this is one of the reasons why certain soaps that have the sodium hydroxide in it, plus even soaps that have certain fatty acids in them, would also aggravate your eczema. So you're right. You need to make sure or be sure that the type of soaps that you use won't aggravate your situation.
Right, that goes as far as even when you use perfumes and body lotions and things like that can all be an irritant to your skin, especially if you are, you know, if you have eczema. So, I mean, just everything that you just need to be aware of, the detergent that you wash your clothes with, you just need to be aware of those types of things.
Okay, what about if you have eczema on the scalp? What should listening audience be looking to help manage that situation during the cold winter months?
What a wonderful segue. What a person can actually do is use the combination of XLSO and XLHGS if they have a severe case of eczema of the scalp. Those two things together would help combat that.
Exactly, because we know XLSO in the scalp, when the scalp is treated with SO, the scalp will quickly heal. If you have any cuts or bumps where, you know, due to irritation or severe inflammation, or either you just scratch your scalp so bad, the SO will immediately control the itching, start to block the inflammation, or at least modulate the inflammation, and then assist the body in the healing and the repair of the damaged skin, course, everybody wants their hair back unless you already bald-headed. Then there's nothing you can really do. But if you pulled your hair out and hair did come out due to your eczema or psoriasis condition, then you can incorporate the XLHGS to help facilitate the regrowth of your hair. We got about 10 minutes left, but we want to quickly get through here. What about showers and baths? How will we handle that?
You want to make sure that when you're taking a shower and bath that you're not staying in the water excessively long, and also the water is not too hot. So basically when you're taking a shower and bath, you want to just get in, wash up, and then you want to get out. So you don't want to stay in there and play with the bubbles because that could be irritating when the skin gets wet to irritate your eczema. So get in and get out.
Yes, that's right. You want to get in and get out. We know in some cases in the past, that there are some people who have eczema or psoriasis, and water actually aggravates it. You know, aggravates the condition and makes it worse. So, but again, if you incorporate the XL products into your everyday regime, as well as follow some of these easy modifications in lifestyle, you should be able to effectively manage your eczema during the winter months. Also, again, we go back to vitamins. We have to take a good all multivitamin because, again, it's going to be cold. Your body's going to demand more energy, not just for its everyday functions, but also to stay warm. I mean, it needs energy to stay warm, which means there's going to be less energy available for other biological responses. And if you're a person with eczema or psoriasis, you know that your immune system is a dysfunctional immune system situation going on. So you're going to need proper nutrition. And proper nutrition is going to start with making sure that you get all the essential vitamins you need. In fact, you need a little bit more than the average person if you have eczema or psoriasis. So you need to make sure that you're getting all your B vitamins. Make sure you're getting vitamin A and vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin C. Also, make sure you're getting bonsen and boron and your trace metals. Yes, you do need metals. Contrary to popular belief, without metals, your body can function. Metals is the essential substance in the core of enzymatic reactions. Enzymatic reactions is what's keeping you alive. That's what's keeping you alive. You know, and there are various metals, manganese and iron and selenium, that sit right in the core of certain molecules in your body. These molecules help facilitate how you break down your food and how you digest your food and how blood is transferred and how oxygen is absorbed and also how you fight infection. So be sure that you're getting a multivitamin that have trace metals. Not a lot of metals. Trace is like very, very low. It's in the micrograms. But the person at the health food store will be able to assist you again if it's a reputable health food store in choosing the proper multivitamin. So, again, make sure you're getting a good multivitamin. Then also, again, eat balanced meals. Be sure you eat good balanced meals. You know, it's cold. I know you got to rush off to work and you have to rush off to school. Don't get up in the morning. Grab a Coke. And for God's sake, not a Diet Coke. And drink it. And then go, Diet Coke. There's enough studies now to show that, you know, those false sugars, you know, have other health disadvantages, actually, when drinking diet sodas. And you ever notice people that drink diet sodas, why are they so fat? Have you ever noticed that? Quickly, when we do studies on calories. In the old days, obviously, they have very sophisticated instrumentation there, but in the old days, you just put the substance in what they call a Bob calorimeter, and they raise the temperature, and they look at the exotherm, and then you can make some calculations, and you can determine how much energy is in the substance, and from there, you can make some other calculations. You can see how many calories. And so just because in your instrument, that it didn't register any calories, that means that the body is not going to register.
Exactly.
You can make a number, say anything you want. You know, I can make you 5'8" if you just if you're really 5'6". I can stretch it and mess around with my ruler and make it appear that you 5'8", but you 5'6". See, so that's the reality of science. You know, and a lot of times science is used again to sell products. The pharmaceutical companies do it. The commodities people do it. The people trying to sell you diet sodas, cookies, anything, they all do it. It's all about money. Okay, it's marketing. But in any event, you need a good balanced meal. Make sure you're getting a good fruits in your system. And I know in the wintertime, fruits are not always plentiful, but try to get a sufficient fruits in your meals. Vegetables, good, you know, greens and yellows, not a lot of yellows, but a lot of greens. Protein source, you know, maybe you know, fish, turkey, a chicken, lamb. These are, you know, not a lot of red meat, but situations where you could get some protein. If you're a vegetarian, you need to make sure you're getting enough protein for other sources. We talked about pumpkin seed earlier. 10% of it is protein, so that also help you out. And then also a small amount of fat. People don't understand, you still need some fats. I mean, your body has fat in it. You know, in fact, the studies have shown that a young female can't even begin a menstrual period unless she has a certain amount of body fat. So that's telling you that fats are needed in the human body. Now, I heard this thing about people saying that you don't need to have fat in your system and the menstrual is really a period of females is the body getting rid of infection. Well, that's just, it is getting rid of infection. But it's not really infection. It's getting rid of waste material that could lead to infection because there was no pregnancy and there's nowhere for that to go but out. That's why that happens. So there's a reason for everything, and it's a scientific reason for everything. So in any event, these are some of the things that we can use or people can use that have eczema or psoriasis to help better manage their conditions during
and
the winter months.
And there's one more
thing,
Shahid, we're going to talk about that. Also, stress. Get enough rest, and because of the economic situation, do not open your 401k statements coming out this month, people. Just keep it closed because that help can contribute to your flare-up in eczema. So don't be stressing out
You're
about
right.
the economy. Because that's the number one culprit in contributing to the flare-up of eczema.
Yeah, you're very so right. Okay, Monica, we have about a minute or so left in the show, so why don't you wrap it up for us and our audience, and we'll go from there.
I just want to remind everyone, if you have any questions, please write us at www.xcel-n.com with your questions. Hit on contact us and send us an email. We'll be more than happy to respond to your questions or your comments. And please join us again next week on Health Talk Live with MD Shahid, and I'm Monica.
Exactly. And don't forget to visit our website, www.xcel-n.com. You can learn all you want to know about eczema, how it exhibits itself in the human body, as well as our fine all-natural-based products, XLSO for eczema of the skin and XLHGS for eczema and psoriasis of the scalp and also for the regrowth of hair. So, once again, this is Health Talk Live. I'm your host, MD Shahid. Tune in next week and every week at the same time for another edition of Health Talk Live.